welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Bend Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, and you know we love hearing from all of you, your comments, your stories, your ideas. Get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to BendRadioShow@gmail.com. And here, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, 4th of July is pretty much upon us, so I want you all to be aware and get ready for packed roads and busy airports this Independence Day. AAA says a record-breaking 72.2 million Americans are planning to travel at least 50 miles from home during the extended holiday, which has already kicked off on June 28th and is running through July 6th. That's 1.7 million more than last year. Most travelers, over 60 million, will be hitting the highways, while nearly 6 million will take to the skies. Another 4.8 million will be cruising or catching a train. AAA says demand is booming, and with 4th of July falling on a Friday, many are turning it into a long weekend or even a full week off. So, buckle up, crew. America's birthday bash is shaping up to be one for the record books.
I always wondered when the 4th of July, where it falls in the middle of the week, if that affects people's holiday schedule or vacation time. I mean, I'm assuming that it does, where if the 4th was on a Monday, probably you would only take a little bit of the weekend. So I can see maybe where the 4th is on a Friday. Is that right? Friday this year?
Yes. 4th is on a Friday this year. And I am seeing more and more people, especially like friends and such, saying, hey, I'm out of commission. I'm gone on holiday starting already here just the other day, Friday.
And the 1st is on Tuesday.
I know.
So maybe just taking the whole next week off.
Exactly. I'm quite surprised. I've seen also a lot of families, having family reunions this coming week, things like that, just because the 4th does fall on a Friday.
And I get fireworks.
You get fireworks?
Firecracker.
Yes. What are you most excited to buy,
Tigger? Firecrackers.
Just plain old, black cats?
I'm just a boy. I like to blow stuff up. Except I use a different word for stuff when I describe it. But I just like to blow stuff up.
You know, I have
a
question
for you,
though.
I'm a boy. That's what we like to do. What?
I don't know that I've ever seen you. I use this stuff from time to time. Tannerite. Have you ever gotten to use it?
I have never tried that. Do we have a couple?
Let me think. I have two cases of Tannerite sitting out at the ranch.
Okay, I'm not here.
Not in our house, but yeah.
I've never played with that stuff. I've always wanted to, but it's just one shot and you're done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
one
shot.
It's a lot of preparation into, and then it's over real fast.
It is one shot. You do have to use something like a .223 caliber or stronger, and it's a one shot deal. But I will tell you, I think everybody should, as long as you are safe. I'm going to underline the word safe. Okay, it's some interesting product to play with. Let's just put it that way. You will actually feel like the waves, like when it goes boom.
Now I want to blow stuff up. I mean, I'm a boy. We just like to blow stuff up. Now firecrackers and black cats are not going to be enough for me this fourth.
I had some friends a couple years ago. They used Tannerite for their baby reveal to see if it would, when they blew it up, if it would be blue or pink.
Did it work?
It did work. However, it was pretty funny because the dad, of course, he wanted to shoot and all of a sudden got nervous. And you have to be dead on, okay, when you hit this. So he missed a couple of times. And then my brother picked up the rifle, and he took a couple shots. And it took him, I think, at least two shots, and they finally got it. So we had more fun on the blooper reel of these guys trying to get their explosive. They wanted to be part of this whole baby reveal, and it kind of failed. Now, speaking of travel, and in light of the events back on June 22nd, when the U.S. State Department issued a rare worldwide caution alert urging American travelers to exercise increased vigilance when venturing abroad, this global advisory signals a high alert environment and comes amid mounting tensions in the Middle East following U.S. strikes on Iranian nuclear facilities. I just wanted to throw this out there personally. I want to share that if you are planning to travel out of the country, please be smart. Double check not just the country being visited, but also any layovers to get to said destination. Okay, make sure that there aren't any major alerts there as well. Secondly, this one's pretty important if you're leaving the country. Please plan to take 20 minutes of your time before leaving your home and enroll in the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program with the Department of State. The Smart Traveler Enrollment Program is a free service to all U.S. citizens. We just don't hear much about it. And to enroll your trip abroad so that the Department of State can accurately and quickly contact you in case of emergency. There's benefits such as get real-time updates about health, weather, safety, and security in that country. You can plan ahead and using information from the local U.S. embassies. Plus, help the embassy or consulate contact you if there's an emergency like a natural disaster, civil unrest, or say a family emergency. I'll have that website posted for you to easily find on our website, thebendshow.com. And lastly, before we head to break, this may be possibly coming to an airport near you. Get ready to fly with just your face. No boarding pass or ID required. Alaska Airlines is rolling out its facial recognition program, Touchless ID, at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport starting the first week here of July. Already, this is in use in Atlanta and DC. This high-tech upgrade lets eligible travelers breeze through TSA by simply scanning their face. No more fumbling for those documents. You'll need to opt in, have a mileage plan account, and be enrolled in the TSA pre-check to use the service. Alaska Airlines calls it a game changer, aiming to make airport security faster and easier. Next airports to add touchless ID will be Portland and LA in early July. Tigger, do you got any thoughts on this?
Did we, when we went to, where was it?
Nashville earlier this year and San Antonio.
Did they take pictures of our face?
Okay, so yes.
I can't remember.
They scanned our face when we went up to the TSA before you went through all of the metal detectors. I know just last month when I went to Vancouver and then also when flying back from Anchorage, Alaska, both times immediately you walk up and they scan your face, look at your ID, look at your ticket, and then you're allowed through. So some of this is happening, but you still, at this point, most airports, you have to provide that ID and ticket. But they have been taking a picture of your face.
Now, I can see where a lot of people will go, okay, this is quicker and easier and faster. However, with everything that's going on right now and tensions high in other countries and traveling and all that, I still think that a person should present an ID as well. I don't have any problem doing that. That's just my opinion.
I'm going to admit I am with you because I'm somebody that even like on our smartphones where it says, do you want face recognition to open your phone or say your fingerprint or something like that? I don't feel comfortable giving anybody that information out there.
Exactly.
So I'm a little cautious about this too.
It's TSA pre-check. So it goes fast anyway. So what is that going to save you? Just a matter of what? 14 seconds of presenting your ID to somebody and they also double check that?
Absolutely. And for those of you that are not TSA pre-check, but you find yourself flying at least, I would say, twice a year, get it. It is a no-brainer.
Oh, yeah. It is so worth it. It is so worth it.
Absolutely worth it. I think it costs somewhere between around $80. It's under $100, but I mean, you still do have to, for the first initial time, get some photos, fingerprints done.
They do a background check.
But continuously, you don't have to go all through that. You just have to keep continually having a good record, no felonies, okay, for example. And it's easy to renew, but it is a game changer. Really consider signing up for TSA PreCheck if you have not done so before. All right, time for our first break. When we come back, have you been frustrated with your dog? Maybe not listening, getting into trouble, perhaps? We have some great steps that can help you. Here's a hint. It's all about their name. You're listening to The Ben Show.
Hey, guys and gals. This is John Armand with Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV. Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV travels the back roads to the backwaters in pursuit of the ultimate adventure in hunting and fishing. Join Team UOA every week for exciting action in the crosshairs of the outdoors. Catch Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV on YouTube, Amazon Prime, and make sure to follow Team UOA on Facebook and Instagram to share in the ultimate outdoor adventure.
The hunt, the stories, the memories. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Let me capture and preserve that hunt, that story, that memory with a trophy mount to last you a lifetime. Look us up on Facebook at JB's Wildlife Designs to see samples of our taxidermy and reach out at any time with any and all questions you may have. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Taxidermy is my passion. Let me preserve yours.
This is Beck. First, I appreciate all of you for listening and making The Bend part of your week. Many of you have asked, how do I catch past episodes? The answer is super easy. Head to thebendshow.com and click on the Shows tab. There you can listen to every episode all the way back to episode one. Podcasters, head to your favorite podcasting app and search The Bend. You'll find us. Be sure to follow and subscribe and never miss another episode again. Welcome back. This is Beck with The Bend Radio Show, and Tigger is here in the house too. Today is part one of a three-part series focused on our four-legged friends, the furry type. Yes, I'm talking about our dogs. Let me just set this one up. Some friends of ours have a border collie. The husband wants a cattle dog to replace one that is retired. The wife, on the other hand, well, she's okay with just a good companion family dog for the most part. Now, they called us up because they were having trouble with the dog not listening.
That is an understatement. I got a text message from both husband and wife saying, when can you get this blankety blank, blankety blank, blank, blank dog and help us with this? So we'll set this up a little bit more. The dog is, how old is this dog?
She just turned one. Her name is Belle. She's a sweetheart. Young. She's a border collie.
She is very sweet. They got her as a pup, I believe, right?
Yes.
Is the backstory. And their dad is used to working with finished cow dogs.
Yes, and just to understand that their operation, they ranch full time. Their ranch incorporates also three other ranch yards. So there's a lot of action happening around for this pup. We're talking tractors, 4x4s, side by side.
A lot of action going
yes.
on. Animals and horses and cats and other
kids.
Dogs too. And kids, yes, teenage boys, kids. So this was the scenario of the dog not listening, where dad wanted something, mom wanted something else. Well, therein right there was something that I said, and this is just my opinion. I, by all means, do I not know everything about dogs? That's for darn sure. But first thing is, the dog had complete reign of everything. The dog could come and go as she pleased. And in fact, as a pup, that's what she learned.
Exactly. And when I said that there's other farmyards within this ranch, we're talking, she had probably a good 15 acres that she could just roam.
Right. Whatever she wanted to.
Living her best life.
So the house where everybody was on this side of the gravel road, and the ranch yard is on that side of the gravel road. So she always was crossing a very busy gravel road. So that's kind of the scenario, and I can see everybody saying, uh-oh, we got problems here. And that's exactly right, because she didn't know what the heck is going on. So they got a hold of us and said, okay, dad is frustrated because the dog wasn't listening. And so let me set this up a little bit more. When we took possession of the dog, and the first day, just playing with the dog.
We just kept it quiet.
Quiet, letting her play and doing this and that. And that evening, the training started. I mean, boot camp was in, right? And when I've said this before, that I can make a dog butt hurt real quick by just my voice. Boy, howdy did I make that little dog go and run underneath and get behind your legs in a heartbeat.
Yeah, she was scooting to get away from you, and you were just, well, as you know, Tigger does have a baritone. He
and
has
I get
one
a
of
little,
those voices.
I get a little gruff sometimes. So how important is it for the dog to understand their name?
Big time.
Epic.
That is like number one.
That is number one.
They understand that that's like the first word they learn is their name, and when their name is said, you've taught me this, that it's a good thing.
Yep. because here's what we run into, and you kind of had, when we got together, you picked up on this immediately. You were like, oh, because I always say the name of the dog, in this case it's Belle, is all, here she comes.
She just came running in here.
When you say their name, that's a good thing. It's always praise. You never, ever, 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 ever use their name in anger, where in this situation, she was jumping out of the back of the side-by-side to chase cows way too soon before Dad wanted her to, and then it was, Belle, get back here. And that dog was confused of, now you're using my name in anger.
In a negative tone
that could tell there's aggression behind it. Mm-hmm. So that is the first thing, is you have to put the name on the dog in a certain way that no matter what that dog does, I don't care if they tear up the living room carpet, when you call them over to you, it's always praise. Praise.
Okay, now tell everybody though, because this was interesting for me too. Would you say, is it highly important that everybody gets on the same page of when they even bring a pup home, of what the expectations are? Not the dreams of what you want this dog to be, but what you're at least bare minimum hoping to have.
100%. And you can have a companion dog that is also a cow dog. You can have a wonderful companion dog that plays with the kids and fetch and goes fishing and rides on back of the truck and do all that, and can also be a wonderful hunting dog. You can have just a wonderful companion dog. It doesn't matter. But the thing is, by putting a name on that dog in a certain way, you can always call them back. And that's when, if they're getting into a situation where there could be trouble, a dog park, right, with other dogs, that can be blow dogs' minds, right? And you're starting to sense, uh-oh, there could be a situation here. Or if you're walking that dog, and that way when you say their name, they know that that is the best thing in the world, is to say their name, because they come running up to you, you pet them, good boy, good girl, whatever the case is, so you can always call them back. That's how you establish controlling your dog from not running away.
And I love how you have shown and taught me that, because there's been instances, for example, border collies are herding dogs, right?
Oh, and they're busy. They gotta be going all the time.
And they're wanting to make you happy. So a lot of times it doesn't matter. It's not just cattle they want to herd. Like our own border collie, who she's older, she'll try and herd the horses to me, which is a major no-no, because I don't want to risk her getting kicked or something.
All the time.
And that's where you taught me how to even start using the growl.
The growl. And all that is it's not grrr, it's hot. Did you hear that? Hot. That's all that it is. And some people think that's the most ridiculous thing. No, it's not. Because when a pup is little in a litter, that is the sound that the mother, the bitch, will make when they are misbehaving. She will physically, that's all she does, is under her breath, she'll growl. And very young, that pup learns where, look, they're not in that much trouble, it's just stop what I'm doing. Whatever I'm doing is not right. It doesn't mean go hide and cower. It just means stop and pay attention to me. So the name is number one. Putting a name on a dog properly, right? Because it's always about reward. And when you say their name and they come over to you, they get petted, they get praised, good dog, all that kind of stuff, right? That's the reward, that you have to associate them with a reward, okay? And the growl doesn't necessarily mean they're in trouble. It just means stop what you're doing and pay attention to me. And that might be you're going out for a jog with your dog, right? Or whatever the case is, you're out in the country or you're hiking and you're exploring and the dog gets ahead of you a little bit too far, you can, and that dog should stop, turn and look at you, and then you can say, come here, Belle. And then zoop, and they run back to you with gusto, with their tongue hanging out and happy, because they know that's the reward.
And I got to say, it's been fascinating. We've only had her with us for a short amount of time.
Only a few days.
And believe me, she's been with a whole nother family for, you know, almost the first year of her whole life. And already she quickly, within the first time you did it, you dialed her in where she recognized her name was good. Well, number one, but number two, she heard that growl, and no matter where she was, she immediately recognized that for example, Tigger was in charge.
I was
he
alpha.
Was the one yep. to keep an eye on. And then whenever she would go and whenever she goes or was doing anything, she continuously keeps checking in with you, looking yep. at you. Is it okay what I'm doing?
100%.
100%. Really dialed her in.
Now, the last thing, the simplest thing is, especially when you're dealing with a young animal like that, those types of training sessions, they need to be very, very short. I mean, just minutes. That's all it is. And then what we use is go play. That means you are released from me. You can go do whatever you want. And it's extremely important for dogs to do that they have their own free time, that you're watching them, of course, and it may be playing fetch, it may be wrestling, whatever the case is. That's the third thing in beginning to work with a dog, is that they also know that there is free time, so they can distinguish between when it's time to go to work and what those rewards are.
Perfectly said. Like I said, this is part one of a three-part series.
We'll see how the next week goes. Who knows?
I mean,
we might be fighting. Who knows?
I know. I'm kind of excited to see how we progress in all of this. All right, crew, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to The Ben Show. We've got more right after this.
Hey, this is Michelle Miller, otherwise known as the Farm Babe. I would like to personally invite you to the world's first floating farm cruise. Yes, a cruise in the tropics, geared directly to farmers and ranchers. Join me and the rest of my crew January 29th through February 2nd, 2026, as we depart from Galveston, Texas, and make our way to Cozumel. Exclusive farm tours, networking, contests and entertainment, speakers, and a whole lot more on the farm cruise. Head to thefarmcruise.com and book your spot today.
Is there that particular pair of boots or that shirt or pair of jeans that you just can't find anywhere else? Check out Medora Boot and Western Wear. Medora Boot and Western Wear is the go-to for boots, jeans, especially jackets, and even those hard-to-find accessories that make perfect gifts. Check out medoraboot.com, or better yet, give Kim a call at 701-623-1005 and tell Kim that Tigger and Beck sent you. For the latest in Western and outdoor practical and fashionable wear, there is only one: Medora Boot and Western Wear.
You've waited, dreamt of a hunting adventure, and now have harvested that trophy of a lifetime. Keep the memory alive with a custom designed mount preserved as a work of art. Check out our approved taxidermist. Depending on your location, the award-winning Schneider Taxidermy is located in Helena, Montana. When hunting the Dakotas, JB's Wildlife Designs in Mandan, North Dakota, then Shadron Creek Taxidermy in Nebraska, and for the Central USA, Little Rack Taxidermy in Macomb, Illinois. Reach out to The Ben Show and let us help you find the right taxidermist. Welcome back to The Ben Show. I have a quick story for you that hit the headlines this last week. Here's a story that's part mystery, part history. Straight from the sea, a message in a bottle from 1983 has washed up on the shores of Sable Island, a remote stretch off of Nova Scotia, Canada, and it still carried a strong scent of gin after 42 years. The bottle held a faded letter launched from a British supply ship. The paper was damp but intact, with some ship crew names and a $2 Canadian bill from 1974 featuring young Queen Elizabeth. A neat find is, if you think about it, the $2 Canadian bill, it changed to a coin back in 1996.
A toonie.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Officials say it's not unusual for these time-traveling bottles to show up. At least one is found each year in Nova Scotia, but this one stands out thanks to its age, scent, and curious cargo. The bottle is now in Parks Canada's archives, and they're hoping to hear from anyone who might have been aboard that ship. So if you know of a former sailor from the Sea Hunter in 1983, they just might have a message waiting for you from the past.
So what did the message say?
Like I said, it had lists of names. It gave some historical information from that date when it was let into the sea. Have you ever found a bottle with a message in it, Tigger?
I have never done that, but we did it as kids. That you would put a message in a bottle and throw it in a lake or something like that. I remember doing that as a kid.
So when I was probably in my early teens.
But you shouldn't do that now because it's littering, right?
Yeah. When I was in my early teens growing up along the Knife River, we actually had a bottle come up onto shore. It was a glass bottle and it had a typed out note inside of it.
What?
It was super cool. It had taken like 15 or plus years to float down and show up in our ranch yard, but it was super neat. It had their names on it. We got in touch with them. It was just
really,
yeah.
So
me,
was it a neighbor?
No. No, it was somebody that had traveled through the state of North Dakota years and years ago, lived somewhere else. They had, of course, dropped it off upstream on close to, you know, the other side of the state. But yeah, it eventually ended up in our yard, in our ranch yard.
How cool is that?
So now every time you're picking up garbage and bottles as you're out doing your cleanup,
check
that bottle. It could be a hidden treasure. That's all for this week, crew. As always, remember to keep sending us in your questions, or if you have something spot-worthy for us to share, you can send all that, call or text us anytime at 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this show or want to hear past episodes, you can find them all on our website, thebendshow.com. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app and to The Bend Show YouTube channel. Finally, a big thanks to everyone that came along again this week. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me, Beck, all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Bend.